Today on Real Life Radio.
Souls are redeemed. People are rescued. Life is encountered by those who are lost. He's losing his grip. When you pray and share Christ with somebody, Satan's losing his grip.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the Lord wants us to understand just how amazing our future is going to be, to confirm in our hearts what we know to be true about the end times, and to look forward to our eternal life in heaven with Him. We may live in a crazy, mixed-up world, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, God's Word to strengthen us, and a future that is worth waiting for. This is why Pastor Jack has devoted his website to the kind of content that keeps our minds on Christ and provides us with some great sound biblical doctrine to meditate upon. So head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com. Check out the media section, devotions, and how to know God in a personal way. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and more Real Life Radio episodes. Again, the website is jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Checking In. This series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now we'll continue in chapter 10. We're sure to love the reaction of the 70 workers that Jesus sent out to share the good news of salvation. You see, the ministry of Jesus was expanding. He told the 70 to pray for those they would minister to, and they did, they prayed. He told them to announce that the kingdom of God has come to this world, and they announced his arrival to all who would listen. It really did fill those 70 people with joy over what they'd experienced, and they were eager to check in and tell the Lord all about it. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there is no greater freedom than to be freed from the demands and the attention needed that living for ourselves actually requires. Having a relationship with Jesus not only means eternal salvation, it means that we get to share with others the love and the peace that only comes from knowing Him. Now, with his message called Checking In, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says, now listen, we're going to spend some time in this because we need to. It's going to encourage us. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. For 2,000 years, church, listen up. Scholars have agreed on this, that verse 18 is one of the most difficult verses in all of the Bible to properly interpret. Why? Is it because it's unreliable? No. Is it because it's confusing? No. Is it because it's vague? Oh, no. Is it because there's a lack of biblical support behind it? No way. The exact opposite's true. Check this out. For 2,000 years, the scholars have bickered about this thing because the statement is so global. It is such a vast declaration that Jesus makes that the words that he used are very, very present at all times. What I mean by that is what he said was true then, it was true before then, it's true now, and it will be true forever. It's an amazing collection of words that Jesus uses. Very, very powerful. Number one, you might want to jot it down if you care. I hope you do. Number one, the scholars say this. Regarding the past, there was Satan's original fall before the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus is referring to. Some scholars say that. When Jesus, who is eternal, said, I saw Satan fall from heaven, the word means that he saw, he is seen, and he will continue to see. Let's see how complex it is. In the Greek, it's that pregnant with meaning. So some scholars say Jesus watched and made announcement about the fall of Satan out of heaven when Lucifer, he rebelled against the Lord, got that title Satan, and was booted from his glorious position. You can read about that in Isaiah 14. In Ezekiel chapter 28, it's about the past. Well, it is, but some scholars regard it concerning the present. That Jesus watched this literally in his spiritual ability to see in the spiritual realm. Jesus saw, watch, Satan fall from heaven while the ministry of the 70 was enacted, while they were serving, while they were ministering, while the 70 were out there doing ministry, Satan fell. He lost his grip, is what the word means. Isn't that cool? I like that. He lost his grip. That's what some scholars say. Another group, this is the final understanding, another group says it's regarding the future. It has to do with Satan getting hit finally at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the culmination of the age. Finally, culminating in the book of Revelation where Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit, the lake of fire forever and ever. Could it mean that? Yes, it could. Do you know what? I think these guys sometimes spend too much time in their theological towers. Do you know what I think it means? For 2,000 years, we haven't been able to figure out how does it apply. I think maybe all of the above. All of the above. Is not each of these true? Yes. Is not it awesome that Jesus, at the return of these 70 disciples, Jesus announces, I saw Satan fall from heaven. All of a sudden, when I look at it now, knowing that Satan has been defeated, I get pretty excited. Because all of a sudden now, I want to ask this question, how could this have happened? I want to know. Satan has lost his grip. Jesus, almost in a sense, in a very romantic way, declares to us, as ministry comes out of the believer's life, Satan loses his grip. You guys, I wish I had the ability to put maybe on the wall here, make it a chalkboard. And in my mind's eye, forgive me, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I take a cat, a black cat, and I throw the cat at the chalkboard. What would you see going all the way down the chalkboard? Scratches of a cat trying to hang on for your dear life as it just goes down that chalkboard. That's the picture. Satan's losing his grip. When the ministry is done by the believer, go. No wonder why Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me add this. Because it gives Satan a headache. Why? Souls are redeemed. People are rescued. Life is encountered by those who are lost. He's losing his grip. When you pray and share Christ with somebody, Satan's losing his grip. Why is it so hard for us to share with people? Because Satan's going to lose his grip. You guys, if it was so easy, it'd mean nothing. We are involved in a battle, a spiritual battle. Next time, I want you to keep that picture in your mind's eye. If your mind is perverse as I am, you can see a cat just hanging on, going down the wall. Satan's losing his grip. When? When the gospel goes out. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. We do not throw cats at chalkboards according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is of this world, but mighty in God for pulling down cats, I mean strongholds, casting down cats, I mean arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought that is a wayward thought, alienated from God, under the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And then Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That ought to get your attention. Ooh. Then what are we wrestling against? You don't want to see it. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Spiritual realm. Therefore, here's what we do. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, the day that you're under attack. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, here it is, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is Satan. And he says, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Every time you and I obey Jesus, Every time we pray, read the Word of God, worship, participate in this thing called church, Satan is wounded. Don't you want to wound him more? He can't stand it. That's why many great Puritans, when you read about their writings and their diaries, like Martin Luther, by the way, how they would be under deep, dark depression, and they would even, Luther even reports, as Spurgeon reports, hearing voices and all this stuff that's driving them crazy, and they'd start praising the Lord, and it would flee. Remember King Saul, when King Saul was freaking out, and he said, man, this demon's tormenting me. Call for a musician, not a magician. Call for a musician. And who, guess who they found? They brought David in, and he starts playing the harp, and it says that the music, the worship that David offered up to the Lord, drove away the evil spirit. Wow. I wonder how much depression the believer goes through when it's not really that someone hurt our feelings, or we don't know why. I don't know why I'm so bummed. Hey, maybe, you know what? Maybe you ought to just start to worship and praise the Lord. If you get better, then chalk it up to throwing a cat at a chalkboard. Satan's losing his grip. The beautiful thing is, how could these demons be subdued like this? Jesus in verse 18 announces it. I saw their boss fall from heaven. Think of that. Look, our boss is falling from heaven. What chance or hope do we have? I love that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. They were losing their grip. Why would the spiritual realm be affected by the gospel? Three things. Because the gospel attacks satanic powers. The gospel. Number two, because the gospel awakens men's minds to think. Think about it. If you can think. Think about that. Number three, the gospel revives men's hearts to life. You ever seen those things? Clear! When they put the defibrillators on somebody. Clear! Boom! By the way, in the TV program, they go clear, and the guy goes, man, when they do that in real life, the guy comes off the ground, man. Why? They're trying to get life back into him. The gospel goes out, and when we proclaim the gospel, minds start thinking clearly. Satan's realm is under attack. And while that attack is going on, the person starts thinking about what you're giving by way of gospel, and then their heart begins to awaken. You guys, it's amazing. Think about that. As someone wrote in one of the letters, thank you for the challenge to have us deployed to the community. I like that word, deployed. It's a militant word. What an amazing battle assessment Jesus gives, that Satan's realm is under attack by all those who follow Jesus. And this had never happened before, by the way. Jesus commissioned these 70 to go out. It never happened before. Yes, there were prophets before this. And yes, there were kings that knew God before them, but never like this. 70 people, no names, sent out with great power. What made the difference in these people's lives? They had been commissioned by Jesus himself, so have you. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, so have you. Ordained by the Father to do this, so have you. It's an awesome thing. And so, we also look at this. A new life in Christ means that we've arrived in Jesus. I want to explain that we have arrived in Jesus. And I don't mean arrived like we've, you know, all right, we've arrived. That's not what I mean. Arriving like you pull up to something, like you come to something. Verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. You guys, don't get all happy about throwing demons around. But rather rejoice because, please mark this, someone in this church must mark this. But rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. That is the greatest thing. Hey, listen, let's be honest. Mark it down. I didn't give it to you, but it comes to my mind. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. Terrifying verse. Think about it. Jesus said, in that day of judgment, there will be those standing in front of me who will say to me, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Didn't we do all these fantastic things in your name? And Jesus said that he'll turn to them in that day and say, depart from me, you workers of sin. I never knew you. You say, how can that be? Church, going to heaven is not through casting out demons. Going to heaven is not by preaching the gospel. Going to heaven, listen, those things should be a result of knowing Christ, but they're not the requirement. There can be those, according to Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, that you can do all kinds of signs and wonders and never know Christ at all. Church, are you awake? You need to hear this. I hear it too often, even by people who attend this church. Well, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? His doctrine is absolutely aberrant, anti-Christ doctrine. Yeah, but you know what? He's funny and he does miracles. Oh, well then, golly gee, let's just roll over and let him come on in and teach all of us. What are we doing? Jesus said, watch out. It's not what somebody can do. It's what they believe. Satan mimicked works before Moses and Pharaoh, did he not? Jesus said in the last days, there's going to be things so fantastic done by strange people that if it were possible, even God's very elect would be deceived. Wow. No, the truth is what we're saying, arriving in Jesus, this is what we mean. He says, rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. This is a monumental theological announcement that Jesus gives. It's wild. Jesus is saying, you guys can be rest assured. Church, listen, you guys can be encouraged. Your names are written down in heaven. But Jack, I don't think I can know that. Well, that's your problem. Why don't you read your Bible and rejoice in the fact that if you trust Christ, your name's written down in heaven. Think about it. Jesus said, think about this. You guys, hey, praise the Lord. Don't get all excited about casting out demons. You ought to be happy about this. This should be your source of happiness and joy, is that your name is written down in heaven. He tells them that to encourage them. I'm telling you that now to encourage you. Let's be bold. Let's be excited. Let's go. Why? Because our names are written down in heaven. If you do not know that, you need to make sure of that. Because the scripture says that these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And if you know it, you got to tell somebody. If you know it, you got to go do it. No one needs to set a fire to you. You can't wait. Wow. Your name is there, my friend. Kent Hughes says in his commentary that if our names are written down in heaven, and heaven is our home, then we ought to act like it. How's that? I love it. Have you ever been invited to something really nice? You get this invitation, wow, and it's reserved. There's a place reserved for you. What do you do? Well, I know what my wife does. I gotta get a dress. And she'll buy a dress, but she has to buy a tie and a shirt. Not for her, for me. Why? Because we're going to something big. A dear friend of this church who attends this church just became, by Schwarzenegger's appointment, he just became a judge on Friday. That's awesome. Wonderful brother. He's been coming here for some 13, 14 years. Loves Jesus. Thank God a righteous judge has been put in place in California. Thank God. Amen. And you get an invitation. You get an invitation to this thing. What do you, listen, you're excited because there's a place at the table with your name. Jesus is saying there's a place at the table with your name. And we need to be dressed up, as it were, in the righteousness of Christ, because we are a believer. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus the moment you said, Lord, come into my life, cleanse me from my sins, and save me. God imputed to you his righteousness. It's a divine act. He does it. Yeah, I don't feel like, it doesn't matter how you feel. The just shall live by, huh? Let's try it again. The answer is faith. The answer is faith. Okay, it's Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Not feeling. Faith. The just shall live by
faith.
That's right. Not feelings. Because our feelings rob us every time and rip us off. Heaven is a grand event, and we're to be arriving at that. So try to see this in your mind's eye. Though you and I are living on this time mark along the age of the church, and eventually we're going to be checking into heaven. Know this. That everything, every day, please, every day, everything, every moment, is it not possible that God wants to be working in our lives because you and I, as we walk this walk, you know, it's called a walk, you know, it means that you obviously eventually get somewhere. Where is it? heaven, when you pull up to the desk, I'm checking in. Oh yes, your name's right here. Since that's true, this walk of faith in Christ Jesus, we should be moving in such a way, living in such a way with the reality of heaven soon to come. We are arriving at our prescribed destination and there's a placard with your name. How cool is that going to be? There's a seat there for you, says the scripture, reserved in heaven for you. Point number two this morning, checking in to a new relationship with Christ. This is what these guys found out, and it's this, understanding. A new relationship with Christ brought them to a place of a new understanding. Listen to this, understanding how? The nature of God. Church, listen carefully, be blessed. You're going to get a picture of the nature of God in verse 21 and 22. It says, in that hour, will you circle that? In that hour, what does that mean? In that time frame, in that moment, what does it mean? Jesus, as he was listening to the 70 report in, watch this. While they were reporting, this is what was going on with Jesus. Smiling. We're going to find out he was actually smiling. We're getting a peek into the nature of God right now. It's almost like we should take off our sandals, right? And our shoes because we're on holy ground here. As they begin to share, as they begin to report, now I took my shoe off and I can't get the thing back on. As they were sharing during that time frame, while they were announcing, Jesus' heart is getting stirred up. And he's going, yes. I saw Satan fall like a lightning from heaven. Yes. 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 And here's the word in the Greek. It starts to crescendo during the course of that hour. Every report Jesus heard, awesome. He couldn't say praise the Lord. He was the Lord, but you know what he means. So watch. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. By the way, that's Holy Spirit there. See the capital S in your Bible? And he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, a reference to the professional religionist right there. I thank you, God, that you've hidden this from those who think they know you. Who can quote everything about Moses, quote everything about the Old Testament. It's their profession, but they don't even know you. And you've revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. Church, listen, Jesus rejoices in the Holy Spirit in that hour when he hears them report in. And the word in Greek is agaleo. Why is that important? Very rare, only here, used in the Bible. Rejoice, agaleo. It means that Jesus Christ himself, are you sitting down? Are you listening? He was filled with glee. The word means to be reveling. It means to be filled with exceeding gladness, resulting in, I kid you not, to move about or to jump for joy or to spin. Jesus Christ, when he's listening to the report, yes, yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Yes!
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Checking In. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you to get your own copy of a brand new book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, right from the classic, but it's updated with Sean McDowell and Josh McDowell together. They produce a fantastic reference book. I tell you what, it's something every Christian should have on their library. You can reference it as needed, but by all means, you need this book.
Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.